And welcome to the 314th show of Money Matters. My name is Mark Cunibrody. Thanks for joining me. Before we begin, please remember discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Indices mentioned are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly, and past performance is no guarantee of future results. Investing involves risk. Depending on the types of investments, there may be varying degrees of risk. Investors should be prepared to bear loss, including total loss of principal. But we hope not. And remember, the views expressed are my opinions only. They do not necessarily reflect those of this station, its staff, management, or underwriters. Money Matters is about money, as the money that we have does matter. And the matters of money affect us all in some way or another. Whether you have a lot of it, a little of it, or none of it, it controls our economy, our country, our planet, and somewhere or another controls the very way we live our lives. It's about your money, your lack of it, or abundance of it. It's about our lives and livelihood. In short, Money Matters is about you. Okay, so we are in the last part of October, right before this very contentious election. And what will happen? Well, the market's been bouncing around, as you know. The all-time high was about 29,500 on the Dow. We're sitting about, I think in the mid, maybe 28. Let me check that. I think we're sitting in the mid 28,000s. We got as low as 10,000 points below us. We were at 18,300, which was the low, the COVID low, which went from a Dow high in last part of February to a COVID low of 18,000. So about 11,000 points was shaved off the Dow. And then around third week of March, the thing just turned tail and scooted up. And we had some fits and bumps in here, you know. But for the most part, you know, almost straight up. It's the chart, interesting. You know, if you zero in on the chart, you'll see some setbacks and things. But if you look back far from this chart, you know, the low was right sitting around March 18th at 18,000 something. And then we're almost at the high of the recovery. The high, I think, was August 26th at 28,645. So we're at 28,335. We covered about the disconnect in the markets. And so, is it disconnected, or are they just forecasting that we're going to have recovery? You know, the market always does comparisons. So if we have a good fourth quarter, you know, if we open up, well, the fourth quarter compared to the third and second quarters is going to look great, right? So it may not be a complete recovery from where we were. Indeed, people are saying it's going to take 2-3 years maybe to get back to where we were, if it ever gets back to where we were as far as socializing with other people. But as far as the market's concerned, we can pretty much say with some confidence it'll probably blow through the all-time high of 29,500 on the Dow and some change. So in comparison, the fourth quarter is going to look great. And I think that's what people are looking at. You know, they're looking at a Dow that was at an all-time high that got completely obliterated because of the shutdowns. And now they're saying, well, we eventually will get a vaccine. And it's kind of funny. They're opening up. You know, the nation is opening up. The skinny about it that I read on a lot of the Wall Street media is they're not going to shut down again. They're not going to do it. The damage was too great. And we're seeing new spikes in Europe and indeed in the United States. So the question becomes, if we're not going to shut down again, even though we're seeing tremendous spikes, should we have shut down in the first place? There are many that believe that you're not going to stop this virus. I mean, you could have flattened the curve by, you can flatten the curve by wearing masks so you don't overload your hospitals. I think that was the general rule. I think a lot of people think that you can avoid the virus with a mask. If you have the virus, in my opinion, I think most people agree that having a mask keeps you from spreading it as severely as you would if you didn't have it, because you sneeze without a mask, water vapors go, 15 feet. But if you don't have the virus, I think people think that the standard blue mask that people are wearing will keep you from getting it. I don't know about that. I know the N95 mask will. But, some of the homemade masks, the virus is going to go right through, because the virus particle size is a lot smaller than the hole in the cloth mask. So anyway, give or take, the thinking is that if we're not going to shut down, if this thing spikes, and it is, then we probably shouldn't have shut down in the first place. It's like somebody says, well, we have a cure and we're going to give you a shot. And then we give you the shot. And you get it worse. So we'll give you another shot. Well, we already know it didn't work. So the shutdown may have flattened the curve, but they're not going to do it again because there's too many businesses are going to be hurt. I have forecast from the beginning that there will be about 25% of all businesses, small business, will not reopen. 25%, in my opinion. There'll be a lot of corporate bankruptcies. Some you've heard about, some names you've heard about, and some names that you haven't. There are some notable restaurant bankruptcies we covered in the last show that have surfaced, and most of those are reorganizations. There's two types of bankruptcies. There's the dissolution, which is 7. You basically go away. And then there's 11, which is reorganization. So you just kind of stiff all your creditors, and then you reopen. So we'll have to see how all that goes, because it's just, it's an incredible thing what we're going through. This is unprecedented. And people ask me, what do you think is going to happen with the markets, Mark? Well, with the election, I think Wall Street has pretty much accepted that the election is contentious and either one may win. Nobody really knows. That's why we hold the election. And I think Wall Street is prepared for whoever wins. They're prepared for a Trump win, and they're prepared for a Biden win. So I really don't think the market's going to get too upset. There is some articles that I'm reading from Wall Street saying that if Trump is reelected, the market is a little worried about the civil unrest that may occur. There was talk that if Biden got elected, that Wall Street wouldn't like his higher tax and spend agenda. But Trump was a big spender. It did lower taxes, but he spent a lot of money, deficit spending. So I think Wall Street knows, as in any president that we elect, the money centers are not going to let a new president do too much, not too much. And so I think Wall Street has accepted it. Now, there is talk about, what stocks will run and what stocks will not run, depending on who gets elected. Now, these are the opinions, the opinions are, and again, opinions are like everything else that everybody has one. So it's no way of forecasting future market direction. But the opinion is that if Biden gets election, we're going to see infrastructure spending and things of that sort. If Trump gets elected, we're going to see maybe more military spending or more financial banks, financial friendliness there. So there is a list of stocks that are candidate specific. But again, this is really hard to tell. The only reason I don't think that we're going to see a huge market correction, with 25% of the small businesses going under, there is no doubt in mind that we would have seen a recession and likely a depression. We get recessions when bad news hits or when something goes awry. You can't shut down 25% of the small businesses in the United States and not expect that to severely impact the economy. Recession, is one thing, but the difference between a depression and a recession is not a big explanation. It's not a big difference, except a recession goes a couple of quarters and depression goes for more quarters. That's all. A depression is just a recession for longer. That's all it is. So without the massive wall of money from the Federal Reserve, the couple of trillion dollars spent by the Federal Reserve, going into Wall Street and bailouts and stimulus checks and unemployment and paycheck forgiveness loans and the CARE Act and all that other stuff. Without that, I would no doubt in my mind you'd see a severe global recession. But since this wall of money is coming from the Fed, which has already hit $2 or $3 trillion, and they're talking about another couple of trillion in the next stimulus package, which we don't know. I mean, we are, when I'm recording this, because this is pre-recorded, we are a week and a half away from this thing. And when you hear this, you know, we do. Now, right now, we're on a COVID minimization of the show. A lot of shows are minimized. Mine's minimized to 29 minutes versus an hour. I used to be on at noon on first and third Thursdays, but that's Gavin Newsom's slot for COVID updates. So I'm doing pre-recorded. But we are a week and a half away from the election. And the markets so far are not really panicking. I mean, we're only, you know, 1,200 points from the all-time Dow high. So it is interesting. Now, you can't really look at the Dow and then look at your portfolio and think that you will have a commensurate movement with the Dow. So if you see the Dow up, you know, 13%, you can't expect your portfolio to move 13%, because that means that it will be geared one-to-one to the markets, and that's really not the proper thing to do with your portfolio, because if you gear it one-to-one and the market drops 14%, you're going to lose 14% of your retirement money, your life savings, and that is really not a good idea. So the average mix of investments is fixed income, which is generally regarded as bonds, preferred stocks, mortgage-backed securities, things of this sort, fixed income mixed with your traditional stock holdings. And that mix usually does not follow the market, neither up or down. So that mix will not move up or down as fast as the market. And really, that's a good thing. You don't want your life savings, retirement savings to move up or down commensurate with the market. You want it to have a little bit smoother volatility than that. Otherwise, you'd probably lose a lot of sleep. Unless you're a real gambler, you know, and then, of course, you would see that. So we'll see how this goes. We'll see how this goes. Again, when you hear the show next, we would have been through the election. And so let's see. When is the election? My next show is November 5th, if things remain as they are. So I don't think we'll know who the next president is on November 5th, but you never know. Going to be crazy for sure. Okay, so you're listening to Money Matters on your community radio station. Money Matters on your community radio station. Community radio station. My name is Mark Cunaberti. Money Matters is carried on about 66 stations nationwide. Thank you very much. And we'll be right back after this brief musical interlude. And welcome back to the 314th show of Money Matters. entitled Lingering Markets and Elections. My name is Mark Cunaberti. Thanks for joining me. Money Matters is carried on about 66 stations nationwide. And we're on a reduced segment of Money Matters down to 29 minutes because of COVID. We're still in California, of course, and we're still partially shut down at the radio station. So a lot of this is being pre-recorded at home. So as we mentioned earlier in the show, people ask me which way the markets will go. And as I previously mentioned, I don't really think the markets are going to tailspin into a crash anytime soon, not because of the elections or everything else, but because the Federal Reserve has basically manufactured, as I have said before, a wall of money, $2-3 trillion, and probably $2 more trillion in stimulus may have happened by the time you hear this show, hopefully. So with that amount of stimulus, the market really can't go down that much, in my opinion. Remember, the two stimulus packages, if the second one is passed, may amount to about $5 trillion. That's about 33% of all the money that is exchanged in the United States for everything. Call that gross domestic product. In a year. Now think, all the money that is transacted between everybody in the United States, in and out, okay, about a third of that. First of all, think how much money that would be. It's almost $20 trillion somewhere, for those wondering. So $5-7 trillion thrown into the markets is a wall of money. So that whether the markets are going to go down, because a lot of that money is going to find its way into Wall Street. So forecasting market direction, I can't tell you it's not going to crash. I can't tell you it will. I don't think it will. I'm not saying it might have a 1,000-point setback. But I don't think we're going to see a complete obliteration. You never know, though. So forecasting market direction is the holy grail, right? But you can't accomplish it. The reason you can't really forecast market direction for sure is because the market is made up of hundreds of millions of people trading at any given time. You would have to know the cumulative decisions of every trader, millions upon millions of people. You'd have to know what they were thinking and then what effect that would have on a particular stock or index. Impossible. Impossible. That's like forecasting the twists and turns of a million flying swallows. You ever seen those? They turn left and turn right. I don't know who decides that. The best anyone has been able to do is forecasting what the markets have done in the past, given a particular situation, and apply that particular past historical movement to what it may do in the future. That's impossible to do, of course, with any certainty. It's why we say past market performance is no guarantee of future results. Anything can happen in the markets, and usually does. Knowing what usually happens in the front of big events, if we knew what happened usually in front of big moves, then we may be able to prepare for the major upsets or giddy upswings. There are some things that sometimes happen before markets go crazy. It's generally accepted that bonds and stocks can move opposite of each other. Now, bonds, as you know from listening to the show, are only IOUs. So if somebody says, what's a bond? You say it's an IOU. Somebody gives person A money. Person A then owes person B the money back. The receipt for that is the bond. It's an IOU. It's a note. So when somebody says, what's a bond? It's an IOU. You can buy a bond from the U.S. government, or you can buy a bond from the state of California, or various corporations will borrow money from you and give you a bond, or you can even borrow money from your brother-in-law and give him a bond back. But we call those a note. So we call them different things to confuse you, but don't be confused. The reason for the contrary movements in bonds versus stocks is because bond vehicles, fixed income is what they call them, they are printed with a fixed rate of return on the front of them. You buy a stock, you just pay for the stock. But if you buy a bond, it says you paid $10,000 and we're going to pay you 3%. And preferred stocks basically are kind of the same way. They have a fixed rate of return printed right on them. Investors buy these products for a fixed rate of return for the fixed rate of return. It might be 2-3%. You know, interest rates are not paying very much right now, but people still buy them because it's at least it won't change unless they default. So as a result, bonds don't move much. They do fall into the class of what we normally call fixed income. And like I said, they could include preferred stock, mortgage-backed securities, mortgages, or other things that pay a fixed interest rate. The mindset adopted by investors when purchasing bonds is widely accepted. We know why investors purchase bonds because, one, they do expect bonds and stocks to move contrary to each other, or they are told that they will. And when markets, the reason they do this is because when markets are rallying, investors get greedy and they don't want 3% on their bond. They want 12% in the stock market or whatever it's doing. So when the stock market's rallying, investors might sell bonds with greed in mind. I want more than the fixed interest rate. When markets fall, investors panic, and they may sell stocks because they don't want to lose a lot, and they go back to bonds. So as a result, bonds and stocks can and may move opposite of each other. Okay? So this opposite movement of stocks and bonds is the reason investors and their advisors usually allocate a portion of the portfolio funds to bonds and also some stocks. The desired result may be to protect, no matter which way the markets may turn. That's the desired reason, okay? Where problems can arise, in my opinion, is when the markets sell off and then continue to sell off. I visualize this as a series of lights, like in a racetrack. You know, they go red, 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 orange, 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 green, go. Okay, so I kind of liken the prolonged sell-off to looking at what is happening over a prolonged period of time. So if the markets sell off for a day or so, bonds will move up and stocks move down, and everything is hunky-dory. However, if the markets continue to sell off, we can see some things that start to happen that most people don't notice, but we do. And that is that bonds may stop rising and start to flatline, or bonds may start falling commensurate with the market move. Okay. Reason being is because if the markets continue to fall, investors have to sell something to pay for their losses if they have margin accounts, which is basically money they borrowed from the brokerage firm to buy stocks. Yeah, you can do that. You may have $100, but you might be able to buy $200 worth of stock. You open up a margin account, and the brokerage account will lend you money. So as stocks fall, the people that lent you that money to buy your stocks are going to ask for some more money because you're losing money, and they're losing money, and they won't want to lose money, so they'll ask for money. That's called a margin call. So if markets continue to sell off, investors may have to meet a margin call, come up with some money to keep in the stock market, and they will look to bonds because that's the only thing that's not falling, may not be falling, and they'll start to sell those. Investors will also get in kind of a depressed mood. They start to, you know, worry about holding any financial assets, and they'll start to sell bonds just because they want out of the market altogether. So bonds can fall if the market sells off over a prolonged period of time. When looking at the markets and their sell-offs, I do watch the bond market. If they're going up and the markets are going down, things are okay. But often I might see bonds start to stall out and bonds start to fall, and then I know that's a prolonged event and that could be a bad sign, and I'm a little bit more careful. Okay. Additionally, bonds are just IOUs from borrowers. So falling markets can hurt balance sheets of big corporations, and they may owe you money through a bond, and so their balance sheets are getting weaker. And so the people that lent them money are starting to worry. Well, maybe they're going to be in trouble and they won't be able to pay the bond, so they'll sell the bond off that way. So although there are many events that can indicate problems in the market and may be able to give you a hint on what's coming, the bond market is one place that individual investors, novice investors, and even novice advisors can look to see if this sell-off that we have in a particular time is an event that is causing more wide stress in the markets than just selling stocks. So you watch the stock market, you watch the bond market, there's junk bonds, which are kind of questionable, And there are investment grade bonds, which are good bonds from good companies that have lots of money. And you watch that market too. There are indexes for that. And what you'd want to watch for if the market sells off, if it continues to sell off, you watch the junk bond market, because those are the bonds first to fall. You watch the junk bond market. You can Google up junk bond market index, and you'll see a bunch you can follow. If the junk bonds sell off and investment grade bonds, the good stuff, starts to sell off too, then you know you've got a prolonged event, and that may indicate more problems. See, remember, the stock market is basically investor sentiment at any one time. The market will reflect reality eventually, but its day-to-day movements are what everybody's thinking, cumulative, and add it all up, and that's which way the market goes. So if you want to know if the mood, because basically it's a sociological movement, you know, a sociological event, the stock market. If you want to see the mood of investors, stocks tell you their immediate mood, and bonds tell them if they're really worrying or not. So if you see the stock market sell off, and you see bonds start to sell off hard, then it could be a sign that things are going to be worse further down the road. Not always, but possibly. Okay, that does it for today's edition of Money Matters. You've been listening to show 314, Lingering Viruses and Elections. And remember, the election is coming. It's going to be here. And I'm like, what's going to happen? Remember, opinions expressed here are my opinions only and do not necessarily reflect those of any media, radio station, its staff, management, or underwriters. Nothing meant here is stated to ensure a guarantee of any kind or meant as individual investment advice. Our website is moneymanagementradio.com, where everything is free. Our way of saying thank you for listening to the show and to your community radio station. I hold California Insurance License OL34249, and I am thrilled to bring you another edition of Money Matters. You can hear past shows, again, at moneymanagementradio.com. My name's Mark Cuniberti. Have a great day. Thanks for listening.